China's protests look like they are about to run into resistance from the military. The House is getting ready to vote on a bill to prevent a strike by rail workers. And cow-calf producers, they're wondering when they'll get a break from the weather to start rebuilding herds.
Live from National Mason Jar Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll check in with U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa. Then it's the Farmer Forum with ranchers Brett Crosby and Casey Schumacher. We'll get the news from Michelle Rook. I'm producer Big Apple Joe Stackler. And now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Joe, thank you very much. So what's your favorite thing that comes in a mason jar then?
I don't know. I'll tell you this, and people who are into mason jars are not going to be very pleased, but when I moved into my house, there were about four huge boxes of empty mason jars. I could not give them away except to the recycle man.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, so, you know, demand isn't what it used to be for the old mason jars, that's for sure. I still create some demand for the mason jars. We still use them on a regular basis. I mean, you got pickle stuff, right?
Sure.
You know, like fish and beets, you got to have that stuff around, you know. But there is something special that does come in a mason jar that every now and then comes my way. I'm just saying, maybe, somehow, some way. that we need to partake in just a sip every now and then, Joe.
Oh,
that's it.
Right. Okay. I was going to say, are you trying to lead me on to some kind of Christmas present request or something?
No, not at all. It's all cool. All right, Joe. Thanks, buddy.
Sure.
Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us this morning. We've got a lot of ground to cover. We've got Senator Grassley coming up. We've got several issues that we are going to cover with the senator. And then Casey Schumacher from Nebraska, Brett Crosby from Wyoming. Yeah, we're going to talk weather conditions. Yes, we are going to talk cattle prices, and not just fed cattle prices. Let's talk about some of the replacement females that may be going out there. But we are also going to talk the conversation between Senator Grassley and Casey and Brett is going to overlap some, because we'll get into the Cattle Market Price Discovery and Transparency Act as well. Michelle Rook in for Davis Michelson. Good morning, Michelle.
Hey, good morning. Oh, I want to hear about that. Are they going to get this Cattle Market Transparency Act? Are they going to get it introduced during the lame duck or not? I've heard Grassley say he is, but...
Yeah. See, here's the deal. When we talked about it with Senator Grassley back in, I believe it was September, at that time, he basically said, you know what? I've got to rely on Senator Tester to get this done. He's a Democrat. He's got Schumer's ear. He should be able to get this bill introduced. When we talked to him again in October, late October, he wasn't nearly as confident that Tester was going to be able to get that job done and that he was going to have to be more aggressive. Well, what is the plan for the lame duck? That's what we're going to find out from Senator Grassley coming up here in a little bit.
You know, I got to interject. At the time, remember we were talking about that, we weren't sure which way the Senate was going to go.
Yes.
There was a concern, I think, that he might not be able to get it done with the new Senate.
Right. Yeah. So it's a perfect time for an update. We've got to get an update on what's going on with the Price Discovery Transparency Act. And we'll get it.
I know it's important to a lot of producers, so we'll see where it goes. All right.
What you got?
Well, we're still following the railroad strike, or at least it looks like now the House is going to vote today on legislation to avert it, and that would have happened as early as December 9th if we did have a strike. Now, after a meeting with the president at the White House yesterday, congressional leaders in both parties did agree that they'll quickly draft the legislation needed to prevent a work stoppage. The Railroad Labor Act empowers Congress to require rail companies and unions to accept labor agreements rejected by their members through lawmakers, though lawmakers can order both sides to push back a strike deadline or refer the negotiations to arbitration. Now, of note, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi also announced plans for a separate vote on whether to add 7 days of sick leave onto the contract. So the American Association of Railroads released a statement saying that the addition of that to the labor contract would undermine future collective bargaining efforts, interestingly enough.
Listen, we're going to go ahead and pass the rules, but then we're going to pass the law that may also change the rules. This is confusing to me, Michelle, and it has been for a little while now, but this adds to the confusion for a guy like me anyway.
Well, and the American Association of Railroads also said that don't think that there isn't sick leave in the, you know, the labor contract already. You know, there's right. a lot of myths that have been flying around about that.
Absolutely. They talk about this one day of sick leave. No, it's one additional day of sick leave.
That's right.
So, yeah.
All right, and by court order today, EPA is expected to announce the volume requirements under the renewable fuels standard for 2023 and actually beyond, maybe even 24. It will then appear in the Federal Register to formally open the comment period on the plan. That could take a week or two, though. Now, the rule is expected to address electric vehicles charged with electricity from biomass and biogas and how the biofuel certificates and e-renewable identification numbers would be handed out. Meanwhile, in other renewable fuels news, Farm State Senators Deb Fischer of Nebraska and Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota have unveiled a bill to allow year-round E15 sales, and this legislation apparently does have the support of the oil industry, so that would be different.
Yeah.
Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell will make remarks today. The big event at the Brookings Institute will touch on the economic outlook, inflation, and the labor market. It'll be his last chance, basically, to talk about what the central bank might be thinking about before the blackout period, before their meeting on the 13th and 14th.
Yeah, and that those comments are going to come after the U.S. It was announced that the U.S. economy grew at an annualized rate 2.9% in the third quarter of 2022. So there's some interesting dynamics happening in the economy right now. We've got the growth rate back, but the labor market does seem to be tightening a bit. It's strange combinations.
Yeah, a lot of mixed signals there for the Fed to work through, but they seem to be still pretty hawkish. China vows crackdown on hostile forces. The Communist Party has vowed to resolutely crack down on infiltration and sabotage activities following the largest street demonstrations and protests in decades over their COVID restrictions. Meanwhile, China hopes to calm some of the anger by loosening restrictions without unleashing a wave of sickness. On Tuesday, the National Health Commission announced a plan to accelerate the promotion of COVID vaccines for the elderly. And, of course, we know their economic activity has continued to contract. Economists now expect their growth rate to be the weakest in decades, including 2020.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, China bought 136,000 metric tons or 5 million bushels of U.S. soybeans this morning for this current marketing year. USDA also released its last crop progress report of the year yesterday. Winter wheat ratings improved 2% to 34% good to excellent. But remember, it still ties with 2012 for the lowest on record.
Yeah. Yeah, really tough out there. But there was some improvement. To me, a little bit of surprise there in that improvement. All right, Michelle, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again this afternoon.
You bet. Talk to you then.
All right. That's Michelle Rook. Okay, when we come back, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we've got a lot of ground to cover, and the guy to do it is Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa. We are going to talk about E15. We are going to talk about cattle market. We are going to talk about the RVOs coming from EPA. Senator Grassley next on AgriTalk. Joining us now is Joel Harris, CEO of Genvax Technologies. Joel, self-amplifying mRNA vaccines. What do producers need to know about them?
Thanks for having me. So self-amplifying messenger RNA is really another derivative of messenger RNA, which I think most of your listeners or the general public understands based on the vaccines available for COVID-19. So they're very similar, but there's a lot of advantages to this system than just a straight mRNA vaccine has.
Gotcha. Does that mean that the saRNA vaccines can be tailor-made to a specific strain of a virus?
We like to say they're either custom or herd specific, since we're focused on livestock. The manufacturing doesn't require a live virus or pathogen for us to start the manufacturing process. We just need the genetic code of the virus or, again, pathogen, and we can start manufacturing immediately.
So the sRNA production, is that the primary focus of GenVax?
We're utilizing different nanoparticle technology, and our initial focus is on swine influenza. And then we're also focused on African swine fever, which poses a real economic and, you know, I would say emotional threat to the U.S. pig industry.
Yeah, catastrophic threats is what we're talking about with African swine fever. Yeah, it takes some serious investment money. Who are the investors in the effort?
It was led by United Animal Health, also Johnsonville Ventures, and the Iowa Corn Growers Association participated in the rounds. It's really an all hands on deck moment here to invest in new technologies for these, you know, pending, like you said, catastrophic potentials. Yeah.
Thank you so much. That is Joel Harris, CEO of GenVax. Learn more at genvax.com.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Here's farmer and businessman James Wood.
We farm about 3,500 acres. There's pipelines everywhere. The contractor working on my property did not have the lines located before he began work, and it resulted on a strike on a natural gas pipeline. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but it could have been much worse.
Never assume the location or depth of underground lines. Always call 811 or visit clickbeforeyoudig.com before you start work. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
AgriTalk is brought to you by the NRCS Conservation Stewardship Program, which cost shares more than 150 practices on farms and ranches. Visit your local service center or farmers.gov today.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Lorre. Glad that you are with us this morning. Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa joins us right now. Senator Grassley, welcome back to AgriTalk.
I'm glad to be with you, and I think since this is the first time I've talked to you since the election, I would thank all the agriculture organizations, commodity groups, and farmers that trusted me with another term in the United States Senate. I enjoy Iowans, love Iowa, love serving Iowans, and particularly being a spokesperson as one of only two grain farmers in the United States Senate advocating for agriculture and telling that story.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. That was first on my list, was some congratulations on your re-election. And here's the deal. As I see things, you've got a long list with priorities on it set up and ready to go. I want to get into some of those because this has been on your list. Wait a second, what am I doing? I got to back up here a second. How did harvest wrap up?
Well, it wrapped up, my gosh, it wrapped up the Thursday or maybe 10 days before the election. It was really fast this year. Yeah. And I can tell you, I can't give you figures because I haven't had final figures, but I can tell you our soybean crop was either the best we've had or the second best we've ever had. Good. And I can tell you that our corn on the where we have low CSR was average, and where we had the best CSR, it's the best corn we've ever had.
Wow. Good. Good. All right. Well, it says something about soil quality right there. That is for sure. Okay, you've been talking about making E15 available year-round for quite some time. There's some new legislation. You've added your support to it. Tell us about it.
Well, for instance, this is something that just this very day I'm tweeting on. It's an effort by several senators in the Midwest And a shocking thing about it is this is something that the oil industry is supporting as well. E15 year round, it gives them an opportunity to sell more of their product, but several of them are in have some investments in biofuels, and so we're trying to promote E15 year round. And we have a recent piece of legislation that's been put in that with Klobuchar, Fisher, Grassley, and Ernst as four people that are backing it. And I think some of it comes because, you know, there's some discretion for governors to issue year-round E15. And I think that's why the oil industry got involved, because they know that several Midwestern governors are going to do exactly that.
Yeah, and it gives another reason that that the oil industry is supporting it is because it extends the lifetime of liquid fuel in the system, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, and it ought to. What we need in biofuels is certainty. This week, maybe even this very day, EPA is going to come out with their RVOs.
Yep.
If you can believe Regan, the EPA director, he told me a year ago that with some backtracking that they did a year ago, we didn't need to worry about the future. There was going to be growth for biofuel use. And that's something that I'm counting on him keeping his word. And we hope that they get out for 2023 and 2024 so we can have a long view.
Yeah. Yeah. If that's not released by the end of the business day, that is going to be news in itself, because this is a court ordered deadline that they have in place. And this is so important. The last conversation that we had with Administrator Regan, we asked him about the engagement of Congress in the RFS reset, and he was hoping for more engagement from Congress. Is that something that that could happen going forward?
I would like to have it happen, because when the law says you have to mix X billion of dollars of, or X billion of gallons of ethanol with gasoline, it gives some certainty. Now, that had been the law since 2007, but it sunset this year. And so we have to rely upon EPA to do it by administrative action. And that's why I'm counting on this promise by Regan that he was going to keep growing biofuels, and particularly the advanced biofuels. But if we could pass legislation to do this, it would be better. But I think we at least aren't going to get a pass this year. We aren't going to give up trying to do that. But right now, we're at the behest since the 15 billion gallon mandate has sunset. We're up to just what Regan said he's willing to do, and he said we're going to get more every year. We'll have to see, and hopefully by the end of the day, we aren't disappointed.
Right. Yeah, you know, this is one of those situations where I think we have to wait for the details, and if there is disappointment in the RFS reset and the future RVOs, we'll talk again and see if there are plans for legislation to get that biofuel build in use going forward. Another deadline that we're looking at, the December 16 deadline on the new funding bills, keep the government running. Is there going to be a continuing resolution to fund the government through the lame duck Congress, or is there going to be an actual fiscal 23 funding bill?
Well, I wish I could give you a definitive answer. Yesterday in the Republican leadership, we had a meeting on this very subject, and it's still pretty much up in the air. And it's up in the air because the Republicans aren't in a majority, and we aren't setting the agenda, and the Democrats are doing that. And we've got all we can do is hopefully the Democrats sit down and negotiate with us so we get 60 votes to get something done. But if we don't get a omnibus appropriation bill to get us through to September 30th, we obviously can't shut down government. We're going to have to pass another continuing resolution. But the best thing to do would be to get a omnibus appropriation bill.
Yeah, does this also mean raising the debt ceiling?
It could be part of it. I doubt if it will be part of it, but it'd be nice if it could be, so we don't have to worry about next March or April worrying about that.
Okay. All right. The Cattle Market Price Discovery and Transparency Act. What's the status? What's the latest developments?
Well, I had a talk with Senator Tester yesterday. He's the other farmer in the United States Senate, and he's very much a leader on my legislation. And he's still talking to Schumer about getting it up. And I suggested to him, if Schumer doesn't deliver on that promise yet this year, we need to try to get it done next year through the farm bill.
Okay. The momentum on the act seems to be lacking. And when I talk with cattle producers in your state, and northern cattle producers, they really want to see this at least get a vote from the Senate. Are you willing to put some odds on whether or not that's going to happen?
Well, I'm just counting on Tester getting Schumer to set the agenda, because Schumer is the one person that decides what's coming up in the United States Senate, because he's the majority leader.
Okay. Okay. All right. Very good. What should the U.S. message to the Chinese Communist Party be as civilians there protest the COVID shutdowns and other restrictions?
Well, don't you think as a democracy, it's the responsibility of the United States government to promote peaceful demonstrations, to urge people to let the people participate in the governmental process? It's a hard thing to do when you have communism that doesn't believe in democracy, but it's our responsibility to encourage peaceful demonstration. It's our interest to give moral support to it. Beyond that, we can't do much.
If there is if the protesters do run in, oh man, we're running out of time. If the protesters do run into some military resistance, does that trigger some sort of an official response from the White House?
Well, if it was military action against the Chinese people, no, as long as everything's inside of the boundary. But we sure need to go to the UN and make as big of an issue out of it as we can in the international debates that you can have there. We need to bring all sort of sympathy to the Chinese people that are being ill-treated, and if they're being killed by military action, that's something that we just obviously have to condemn.
Gotcha. Senator Grassley, thank you so much. Go Panther, go Cyclone Volleyball.
You bet. God bless you.
All right, that is Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowa.
Goodbye.
You bet.
Since 1922, Mystic Lubricants has been providing superior performance and protection for farmers who demand the most out of their equipment. Today, Mystic continues to develop products in real-world conditions that are specially formulated to meet the unique demands of your specialized machines. They provide advanced protection for engine longevity and are the choice of people who make a living working the land. Learn more about Mystic products at mysticlubes.com. That's M-Y-S-T-I-K lubes.com.
When we told growers that New Bear Premium Trifold Herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trifold, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trifold worked. See for yourself at TrifoldInAction.com. Trifold is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now as we wrap up November is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beege, are you getting any signals, messages from the grain markets this morning?
Oh, I think that the meal market, Chip, turning higher. You know, soybeans, we had a daily sale to China. And so I think that that's price supportive, you know, obviously reflected in this morning's action. But the soy oil market's under heavy pressure. And so that's limiting the buyer interest in soybeans in particular. Corn market just continues to kind of drift sideways with a weaker tone this morning. And then the wheat market, winter wheat. Wheat markets are trading to the upside on corrected buying here to close out the month. So all in all, you know, relatively quiet and just uninspired trade, I think, so far in the grain and soy markets.
Yeah, you mentioned the soybean oil market being under pressure. That's with crude oil trading to the upside. I mean, here we are. We're still above 75 cents, and I'm looking at the D's contract, but we're still above 75 cents. That's probably just prompting some profit taking in there, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into today's price action, to be honest with you. It's end of month stuff. We'll see what happens with the flip of the calendar tomorrow.
Yeah, okay, Hawks finally got a positive sign in there.
Absolutely, and you know, they opened with a weaker tone, so lower open after recent heavy price pressure encouraged some corrected buyer interest in being led up by the nearby December contract, but February is also following solidly to the upside this morning. Live cattle futures still anticipating firmer cash trade, haven't seen anything there develop yet though, and so buyer interest is limited, and then feeders supported by the weakness in the corn market.
Good stuff, Brian. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Did you know that 22 Americans die each day waiting for organ transplants, most of them for kidneys? The good news is that MatchingDonors.com is helping to change that. MatchingDonors.com is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that links organ donors with people in desperate need of kidneys and other transplants. And now you don't need to donate a kidney to save a life. You can donate your boat, car, or real estate with 100% of the proceeds going to help save the lives of people needing organ transplants. Visit MatchingDonors.com or call 601-402-9138.
The Milk Business Conference brings together the most progressive dairy operations. Make sure you're a part of this year's 20th anniversary event at the Paris Las Vegas Hotel and Casino, December 13th through the 15th. Be in the middle of the action with sessions on labor, the water crisis, renewable energy, and more. Together, we can go bold directions as we continue to navigate this ever-evolving industry. View the agenda and register now at milkbusinessconference.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us this morning. It's time for this week's Farmer Forum. We're going to make it a Ranchers Forum this week. We got Casey Schumacher out in Northwest Nebraska. Casey, welcome back to AgriTalk, man. How are you?
Morning, Chip. Doing pretty good. A little chilly this morning. We had to touch down in the single digits and below zero in a few places.
Yeah. Yeah. How is the weather treating you so far, Casey?
Oh, it's been a pretty, we've been dry. It's an open winter. We're grazing a lot of cows. So we could sure take some more moisture and knock the dust down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to talk more about that as time goes on, as we talk about what's going on in the female markets and so on. Brett Crosby in Wyoming is with us as well. Brett, welcome back. It's good to talk with you again, man.
It's good to talk with you, Chip. How are you?
We're doing just fine, just fine. As Casey said, things cooled off here. I'd imagine you got a little chilly this morning too, didn't you?
Oh yeah, we're a little bit warmer than Casey. I mean, we only got down to one, so we were above zero.
good for you. I'm glad that glad that you got a bit of a heat wave going there, Brett.
Yeah, warm spell yep, going.
Yep, that's right, Brett. I do want to start with you and the conversation that we just had with Senator Grassley. It seems as if he's leaving the push, and I shouldn't say it that way, I guess, but Senator Grassley is relying on Senator Tester from Montana to push forward the Cattle Market Price Discovery and Transparency Act. And I know that's because of the results of the election and the Democrats retaining control of the Senate. What do you want to see done with this?
I want to see it passed. We have to have this. To preserve price discovery, Chip, we have to have this. And this isn't new regulation. It's not a mandate. This is fixing the unintended consequences from the mandatory price reporting. We've gotten to the point where mandatory price reporting gives packers so much information that for free that they've moved to formula pricing, and it has cannibalized cash, and we have to protect that cash market. And I don't think it's too much to ask for packers to buy on the cash market and contribute to the data set that they are using for free to price the rest of their cattle. We're not talking about huge volumes. We're talking about 10, 15, 20% of their market. This isn't something that is going to affect them drastically like they purport.
Yes. And Casey, Brett, I want to stay with Brett for here for a moment. I followed your arguments on this. You are not arguing for the mandated cash trade in an effort to support cash prices. You're arguing for it just for transparency. You are not making the argument that this is going to, quote unquote, lift cash prices, right?
No, it's not going to do anything to cash prices. What it is going to do is tell us what the competitive market forces say cash prices are telling us cash prices are. In other words, it is going to ensure that we have enough information to know what cattle are actually worth.
Mm-hmm. Casey, what's your take on this situation?
I think Brett couldn't have said it any better. One of the big things, if you look at fat cattle in the auction barn that is exempt from MPR. They bring a premium. This is data that's important, and it's being given away for free. A lot of the push, you hear guys say that, you know, it's a sales deal. These grids and formulas mm-hmm. are to reward higher quality cattle. Well, in some instances they do that, but the major thing they do is they transfer risk from the packer to the producer. And that is something that, they ought to have to pay for transferring that risk.
Okay. Hey, Casey, explain that sale barn comment a little bit further, how the sale barn cattle are bringing a premium. Why is that?
They're exempt from MPR. That's kind of my thoughts on the issue. You can go into Iowa, Eastern South Dakota, and look at those market reports and, those cattle are bringing in the $1.60s right now for fat cattle.
Okay. Brett, do you think that's accurate?
In other words, Chip, I think that's one reason because if they aren't part of the five area average or MPR, then it's not going to affect the base price for all of the formula cattle that the packers are buying.
Okay. Okay, very good. Now, I want to throw this out there too. Sometimes those sale barn cattle will fill in some of the holes that a packer might have here or there, and holes in the major packers. I know they rarely exist. I get that, but sometimes the smaller packers processors out there might say, you know what, we need another five head today. Go to the sale barn and get them bought. We just got to have them. So, anyway.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it too, Chip.
Yeah.
I don't think it's all because of MPR, but
right.
But I'll tell you what, if we don't get this passed, what's the motivation for us to even have MPR? Why should we give our information away for free, so that other feedlots can make an extra $25 a head?
Okay, so. let's talk to a southern feedlot here for a second, Brett. And that feedlot operator is gonna say, listen, I found a way to be most efficient in my marketing through some of these alternative marketing agreements. Are we talking? You're not talking about taking away that ability, are you?
I'm talking about taking away the mandated price reporting. Why should we give him something for free through a government mandate and allow him to receive an extra $25 a head, which is about what the premium is for a formula.
Okay. So if we don't get the price reporting out there to the industry, aren't we losing some of the transparency at the same time? We've got to have price reporting, right?
Well, do we? I mean, if price reporting is going to cannibalize the cash market and price discovery, do we really have to have it? You know what the grapevine is. We all know what the cash price is.
Yep.
It doesn't take very long to know what the cash price is. So why mandate that it be reported if it's going to undermine price discovery in the long run?
All right, Casey, your thoughts on that?
I'm the same place Brett is. That's
okay.
It's one of those things that you see it in the feeders. If somebody comes to the country and wants to buy your feeder calves, what are they going to price them off? They're going to look at the local sale barn report, and that's how they're going to sell it to you. Well,
that's right.
You know, that sale barn, they don't mean to just give that away for free. That's just how the market works.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right. Let's move on. We may end up back on this topic, and if we do come back to it, I'm all for that. But when I think about what is going to make your guys' life easier in the year ahead, I mean, it goes straight to weather, right, Casey? If we could get some rain out in your area, my gosh, it'd make life a whole lot easier, wouldn't it?
It's going to be everybody waiting on rain this spring from south central Nebraska, Kansas, pretty much the western United States. What I've drove through is pretty rough shape. And, you know, you look at what these hay prices are. I did see a USDA chart the other day that we had the lowest hay production since on more acres since like 1959. You know, it's $1.50 a day is what I'm hearing for stocks. And you're $3 a day if you're feeding hay right now.
Mm. Brett, do those numbers make sense to you?
Yeah. Hay in my area is $250 to $300 a ton. So, you're looking at, upwards of $100 a head per month.
Jeez.
If you're feeding $300 hay.
Yeah, and we've got to have a market that is going to provide incentive to keep that cow on feed. And I don't know if we've got that right now or not. That's what I want to talk about next with Casey Schumacher from Northwest Nebraska, Brett Crosby from Wyoming. What's got to happen in these markets going forward to keep the cow out on grass and on feed? And what are the plans for the future? What's the female, the heifer in the cow market telling you about the future of the cattle industry? We're going to talk about that next with Casey and Brett right here on AgriTalk. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA. Join me every week on the Farm CPA podcast by Top Producer for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implementations, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Farm CPA podcast by Top Producer, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like that family movie night your daughter can't live without. Yeah, can't do that. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here!
Whoa, that was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Jeff Diven is the director of agronomy at Sound Ag. Jeff, if I remember correctly, you managed some farmland. How was harvest up in north central Iowa?
Yeah, we've got some snow on the ground as of last week, so I'm glad it was a quick and dry harvest to make up for the late start. I don't recall the combine ever really getting a drop of rain on it, and it was nice and dry for tillage. So yields came in a little better than expected, and I'm happy.
Good. And I take it that you use source on your land. How did that go over?
Yeah, I did. I put source on regular production acres, and I also participated in our N-reduction program to underwrite the risk of reducing some nitrogen. And both of those treatments had a nice positive ROI, both a 5-bushel yield bump and some nitrogen savings on top of it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Love to hear that. So what's new at Sound?
Well, we recently announced a new multi-year partnership with Total Acre that brings a sustainable focus to a group of the country's top producers. Collectively, we're aiming to decrease nitrogen costs for their growers and have a shared goal of removing 10 million pounds of nitrogen this season.
Wow, that's impressive. For those that don't know much about Total Acre, tell us about it.
Yeah, Total Acre is an organization that brings together hundreds of the most progressive growers from across the country, and they create a community to share best practices. It's led by Randy Dowdy and David Hula, two yield world record holders who tried Source Out and gave it their stamp of approval.
That is some serious buy-in on your product right there, Jeff.
It certainly is. Source will be another tool in the belt for many farmers trying to save on input costs, and also a big win for the environment and grower communities. Our shared goal of 10 million pounds of nitrogen reduction would be the equivalent of removing more than 4,500 cars from the road each year.
That's fantastic, Jeff. Where can growers go to learn more about it?
They can visit us at sound.ag to learn more about Source and where it's being sold near them.
Excellent, Jeff. That is Jeff Diven, Director of Agronomy at Sound Ag.
Take your conservation to the next level. The NRCS Conservation Stewardship Program pays producers for practices you're already doing on your farm or ranch while providing technical support and additional incentives to adopt new ones. More than 150 practices are eligible for working lands, rangeland, pastures, farmsteads, and forests. Don't miss out on this cost-sharing opportunity for next year. Visit your local service center or farmers.gov today.
You might not know it here in the cab of your tractor while planting Pioneer brand seed, but behind the scenes, scientists at strategically located R&D centers, more than 160 full-time agronomists, and over 2,200 local sales representatives are part of Pioneer's continuous innovation process that brings better yields to your fields. Year after year, Pioneer. What's next happens here. Learn more at pioneer.com/next.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the Farmer Forum. I want to get back to the conversation with Casey and Brett as quickly as we can, but first let's make time for Yields in the Field.
Yields in the Fields on AgriTalk is brought to you by Microessentials from Mosaic, the science of more. Discover our proven products. Text YIELDS to 31313.
All right, we were in South America for yesterday's Yields in the Field. We're going to stay right there today. December is for filling pods on much of the Brazilian bean crop. The bean crop in northern production areas has good moisture, but the southern production areas are very much in need for timely rains to maintain expectations for a bumper crop there. And boy, the expectations are very high. Yields in the Field is brought to you by Microessentials from Mosaic. Let's get back to Casey Schumacher from Nebraska, Brett Crosby from Wyoming. Brett, talk to me about the market for heifers. Talk to me about the market for bred cows. Is there much demand out there at all?
Well, when you're looking at $100 a month to feed them through the winter, no, is the short answer. Even though we're looking at $1,400 calves next fall, you take $400 off of that, and then you divide it by about 80% is what you're gonna sell. In other words, eight calves for every 10 cows, you're looking at $500. So you're back down to a $900 calf by the time you take the feed bill off. So no, there's not a lot of interest. Young cattle are bringing $1,600, which is what they were bringing 3 years ago, and so I expect that they'll get more valuable as the winter moves on and the spring gets closer. But the other thing is, there's not people are hurting. They don't have a lot of cash. So it'll depend on how much the bank is willing to give them to replace their herds.
Yep. Casey, your take on the situation?
It's pretty wild to see. Looking at some of the market reports, it's about as wild as the corn basis maps. And the other thing that is interesting right now is you get out in Brett's country, western Montana, Idaho, they're still filling the trucks up with $6 diesel. I'm hearing some guys getting under $4 eastern Nebraska and Iowa in the trucks. But by the time you feed them and you haul them anywhere, you got a ton of money wrapped up in these cows. And looking at what interest rates are, a $2,000 cow in 12 months, you're going to have $150 interest in her.
Yeah, that's right. What does this tell you about the future of the cow-calf business out your way, Casey?
There's a lot of folks wanting to get ahead of the rain. If it rains, I think, guys are going to push as hard as they can, as hard as the banks will let them. This is cow country. Guys still want to run cows, but you're seeing folks that have other options. Guys that have more grain country, they don't want to mess with it anymore. There's guys getting out of it, so it's going to be interesting. I don't think you'll see the expansion phase be near as gangbuster as we've seen in the last cycle.
Yep. Yeah. And from my point of view as a consumer out here, Brett, that concerns me big time that the next wave of expansion, I understand that an expansion wave takes the females out of the slaughter mix for a period of time, and we've got to rebuild that herd, and that means $175 fat cattle price. I don't know any way around something like that from happening. So I understand that it's going to mean higher beef prices for at least a short period of time. But without the expansion, as aggressively as it should be or could be when the rains do come back, this has got me really concerned for the future, for the long for the long-term outlook of this market.
The there are two things that concern me. Number one, are we going to outprice the consumer's willingness to buy beef? And that doesn't concern me quite as much as the other thing that concerns me, which is we're going to see, if we see a rapid expansion and people are holding a lot of females back, there's going to be a real shortage of fat cattle, which means plants are going to be running at way below capacity and way below break even capacity. And does that mean we lose more kill capacity for the next cycle? That happened in 2014 and 15, and it killed us. So we don't want to see plants shutting down capacity.
Yeah. And this is something that we've brought up several times when we talk about the new capacity and the support for new regional, smaller processing facilities coming online. I love the idea of more capacity. I love the idea of more competition. If we had the cattle to feed the demand for cattle, not so much the demand for beef, but the demand for cattle. And it's one of those areas that as the new processors come online, holy smokes, it feels like a real challenge for them to get the cattle that they need going forward, doesn't it, Brett?
Absolutely. And they're going to have to find ways to, well, number one, they're going to have to find ways to market their drop, because right now the byproduct value for steer is around $160-$170 a head. And a lot of these small plants are getting nothing, or they're having to pay to get rid of it. Yep. So they've got to find a way to get value from the byproducts, but they also have to differentiate. You know, they have to find ways that make their product value added. This is from XYZ Farm, and this is what they do.
Yep, you guys, we could do this all day. I enjoyed this conversation deeply, and I hope you did too. And guys, be safe this winter. We'll talk again soon, all right? Thank you so much. That's Casey Schumacher.
Thanks,
Chip.
Yep,
Casey in Nebraska, Brett in Wyoming.
A lot has changed in agriculture over the past 14 years. Ups and downs in the market, updated technology, and fluctuating input prices, to name a few. One that has remained constant? Ag Resource Management's dedication to farmers like you. Work with ARM and you can expect fast approvals, competitive rates, and some of the most experienced lenders in the business. A local ARM area manager would like to connect about their newest loan options for farm operations. If you're ready to finance differently, give them a call, 855-545-1199.
As a farmer, no decision is more important than your choice of seed. That's why FBN offers FlexPick. With FlexPick, you can lock in savings today, then wait until you have all the data from this year's harvest to choose from our growing list of proven hybrids and varieties. With an online store, real-time product availability, and farmer-controlled delivery windows, with FBN, you're always in the driver's seat. Learn more at fbn.com/yourseed. Terms and conditions apply.